Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 464th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by BetRivers. Claim your risk-free bet of up to $500 over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BetRivers. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BetRivers. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Game Time tickets make the perfect holiday gift. Download the Game Time app today and use promo code CFBX for 20% off your first purchase.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to episode 464 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one is going out to Robles Despagne, who is the talk of the MMA world. Maybe we'll discuss him soon. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. We are back with a UFC event, the second to last UFC event of 2023, the last UFC fight night, I guess it would be, of 2023. Next week we get a pay-per-view and then UFC shuts down for a few weeks. So yeah, we got Song versus Gutierrez coming up this weekend, which we will get into shortly. We got six fights to break down today on the prelims. Tomorrow we will do the five fight main card and our fancy dancy picks. I'm not doing this alone. The man who's actually winning this year, he's primed to win his first season against me in picking fights. He should have been winning every year, but somehow he was not. It's one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I like you make it sound like it's been like a decade of us doing this.
It's been like three. This is our third season, is it not? Yeah, season. Third year? Fight. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, we treat them like seasons. So it's like it's 2-1 is what you're saying.
It's 2-1. And the first one was first one was like, what, a half a year too. So
yeah, it wasn't even a full one. And I got to go back to Robles Despagne.
Yes.
I want to, you know, for those of you who didn't see, 4-0 prospect, his last three wins have come in a combined 20 seconds, Taekwondo bronze medalist at the 2012 Olympics. Like a lot of things people like about this guy, signed immediately right after his last knockout by the UFC. All very exciting.
The event wasn't even over yet.
Yeah, it was 10 minutes after, I was told. Yeah, 10 yeah. minutes later, he got signed. And you know, like the UFC has like told people in the past, like just go win this in spectacular fashion and you're in. I'm sure they told him his management team is the one who at least used to represent John Jones. So it's not like they're unfamiliar with the UFC and their workings and stuff like that. I don't think they represent John anymore, but they used to. And so like, I'm sure he was like this close and ready to be signed the whole time. But my question for you is, what god awful heavyweight do they wheel out to let him decimate first?
All right, I'm going to call up the heavyweight roster. I'll do it off my.
You don't have to pick an active person because they love to pull somebody back too.
Like that's true.
Like that's Chase true. Sherman, get ready for your fourth time in the UFC.
Yeah, I was going to say I haven't seen much of this guy, but no one really has because, as you said, he does not fight. Does fight that often? Well, actually, no, he hasn't fought that much, and his time in the cage is next to none. Who should he beat up? Andrei Arlovsky, obviously, Dan.
No. Actually,
no.
I don't know. It depends on how fast they want to run him up, right? Because the good news about Arlovsky and perhaps the matchmaking that's the most important to them, The good news about Orlovsky is it's not like Orlovsky's going to shoot a takedown in 2024, right? Like, that's not his style anymore.
Yeah.
He's like a point fighter from the outside, which is actually probably what they're looking for. And that's why I mentioned Chase Sherman, right? Like, Chase Sherman is like...
Oh, of course, Chase Sherman, yeah.
Lucas
Brzezinski.
Oh, there you go. You could give
him 0-3 in the UFC. There you go.
Yeah, he's still on contract. You can give him one more in there and just...
Josh Parisian?
Oh yeah, that's a good. Although he's got some grappling chops too, so like they might want to be careful on that one. Carl Williams would be a good one. Although he's got takedowns.
He's won two straight fights too, so they may not want to do that. I was gonna say, but Shamil Abdurakhimov has lost four straight, but he would be a bad matchup. So
yeah, he's got. Although his wrestling kind of sucks, and he sucks at closing the distance. That's his biggest problem. So, and this guy's. 6'7" with all the reach to go along with it. So, it'll be interesting to see how they match make it and how quickly they want him near the top. Because it'll show like how much faith they actually have in him and how much they just didn't want him to be in Bellator.
Bellator does not exist anymore. Gumby, though, come on.
Yeah, it does. 8 events in 2024. That's right. 8 Bellator events in 2024, my friend.
Right. I forgot about that. Heavyweight's interesting again. But we had a few years where
it wasn't. I mean, if they let Tom Aspinall fight anybody, it'll be interesting. Yeah. Again, right? They're talking.
Gelatin called him out, which bad idea.
That's the best heavyweight fight you could make right now. I'll tell you what, it's way better than John Jones versus Stipe. I don't want to watch that. I don't know why Dana White keeps talking like everybody wants to see that. Do you know anybody?
Everybody does.
Do you know anybody who's clamoring for that fight? Like,
I don't know. People are talking. Like, everyone's saying it. Dana White is just like a former president of yours, where he talks about people are talking and people want this, and
people are talking,
it's all general generalizations and no actual.
Here's a follow up question, because usually when we're like, I don't want to see it, and then I'm like, but I get why they're making it, right? Like, I didn't want to see Colby Covington versus Jorge Masvidal. I knew exactly what it looked like.
Yeah.
But I got why they were making it, right? Like, the promo, beautiful, easy to make. The bad blood, the used to be backstage. Like, it was all perfect.
Yep.
Do you think you could sell John Jones versus Stipe to a casual fan even? Like, they're now so old that I'm not even sure, like, this new age of casual fan, like, would even be interested in that. And the diehards are all over it. So I'm not sure it does what he thinks it does.
Yeah, I don't remember Stipe being box office gold back in the day either. People weren't clamoring for Stipe. I don't know. Whatever. Dana White does what he wants to do, Dan.
He does.
Other important news, Gumby shaved, so he looks like a little boy again, right? And he's got a hat. It looks like a Dallas Mavericks hat, but it's not.
No, it is. No,
it is Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, I'm not a Mavs fan, but I really liked the hat, because the logo of the Mavericks has always been very sweet. And as you can see by my bobblehead selection in the back, this guy right here was my favorite basketball player for quite a long time. So shout out to Dirk Nowitzki.
He listens, so that's good.
He loves MMA podcast, that Dirk Nowitzki.
He sure does. I guess that's all we really have to talk about. We talked about your hat. We talked about your shave. Perfect. I'm not wearing a Suns hat today, as you'll notice, because after last night.
It looked awful last night.
Oh, my God. 20 turnovers and what? 21 offensive rebounds they gave up, or vice versa? They both were in the 20s. And they still almost won.
That's a shame, too, because my boy Nurchik, I was really hoping, would have been a shining star for your Suns, because I loved him when he was a Blazer.
And he's your boy. I think you're the only person who's ever said that about.
I really liked him when he was a Blazer. I had him on. Yeah. I used to play him in DFS all the time.
Yeah.
He was good for 15 points, 12 boards all the time when he was on the Blazers. And now he's worth less than that.
Yes. I'm sure he's on. Knowing about your fantasy team, I'm sure he's on your fantasy team as well, right?
He is. This year. This year I didn't get him. No. And that, no, it's not too bad, because he sucks.
He is true. No, he's all right. No, it's true. He sucks. All right. Enough talking about all these other sports. Let's talk about what we're here for. What brought your ears to this show and your eyeballs. Thanks for watching on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure even if you're not watching YouTube, go in there and subscribe with your 10 accounts that you have on YouTube. Get our subscriber count up there. All right, before we move on, I'm going to tell you about BetRivers, our sponsor. We're brought to you today by BetRivers. BetRivers is available in over 14 states, plus where I reside, Ontario, Canada. BetRivers has some of the best live betting markets in the space. Their betting menu is second to none, including a ton of props. Depositing and withdrawing is super easy on BetRivers. And Gumby's going to give you a play of the day for BetRivers. Do you have a play in-season tournament semifinal pick, or what do you have?
Ooh, in-season tournament semifinal pick. I'm going to take in the Eastern Conference one. The Pacers sort of made me believers. Everybody's crapping on the Celtics for giving that one up. I think maybe more credit needs to go to the Pacers. So I'm going to say Pacers on Thursday over the Bucks.
I'll say Bet Rivers for the Pacers.
I'm not going to take the money line. Give me the points.
Oh no, you're taking the win outright. Yeah.
No, not the money line. Not the money line.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
Give me the points. It says 4.5. Give me the 4.5.
All right. Gumby will take the 4.5. And the Pacers, their high scoring offense to beat the Celtics. Hey, who's to say? They are definitely looking good right now. Sign up using our link to get a risk-free bet up to $500. Plus Gumby's pick he just gave you was risk-free as well. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/betrivers. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BETRIVERS. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Let's get to the main event of the show, which would be UFC Fight Night Song versus Gutierrez. Goes down this Saturday, 7 p.m. back in the cozy confines of the UFC Apex. We've got 11 fights. There's been a lot of moving parts, as we like to say, on this fight card. Fights falling off, fighters falling off, fights getting put in, you know, pretty short notice, stuff like that. But as we record, we got 6 prelims. We're going to break down today the 5 main card fights tomorrow. All right. Prelims start at 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus. Not sure if it's on TSN up here or if we have to watch the whole thing on UFC Fight Pass or not. Thoughts on the prelim portion of the card before we jump into it, Gumby? Any over arcing, any story arcs, any stories about the lines or the matchups or anything like that that you're interested
in? Haphazardly put together. That's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Hastily and haphazardly, just like our podcast, right? We actually plan more than UFC.
Yeah, we actually plan. Yeah.
But we make it look like we haven't planned. That's the key. All right. Let's start off with a couple of debuting female fighters. We've covered them before on this show because we are hardcore, but could be a first time for some of you to have seen them fight. This will be at strawweight, 3 5-minute rounds. Hayan Dos Santos. She has another last name now. I can't remember. Who does she marry again?
You Colton told me. England.
Hayan Dos Santos, England. Where does he fight? What promotion?
He's fought in LFA a bunch, but he was on Contender Series.
Okay, right. She's fighting Talitha Alencar. So some Brazil women's action we got here. We're going to tell you about Alencar. First, 4-0 with 3 submissions. This is her UFC debut. 0-0-1 on the Contender Series. She found a way to fight to a draw. She's a multi-time world champion in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. She got outstruck in the Contender Series fight by 3.47 strikes per minute, and she's at plus 135. Dos Santos, 14-6, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. This is her UFC debut on the strength of 3 straight wins and 7 wins in her last 8. She went 2-0 in Invicta and was the champion there. That was her last fight, was when she won the belt. 0-1 on Contender Series. Who did she lose to, Gumby?
Denise Gomes.
Used to fight at flyweight and down at atomweight. Was regional champion. Inch height, 4 inches of reach on Alencar. 5 years younger, more active landing strikes. And she also was outstruck on the Contender Series by her opponent by 3.2 strikes per minute. She's at minus 167. All right, break her down.
So first of all, I'm just going to use this opportunity to plug women's atomweight again. Give me women's atomweight. That's what high-end Dos Santos is she's an atom weight, and we're making her fight at straw weight. Give me the division she actually belongs in. She was, in fact, the atom weight champ. So I'm still taking high-end Dos Santos. I think Alencar showed us something very clear on Contender Series, and that is her grappling, world-class. out of control good, very, very, very good, and she's just not ready for the UFC at the same time. You can be that good at jiu-jitsu and not ready for the UFC, because for me, what it was is when she couldn't get the takedown, she was nothing. She didn't belong there. She got pieced up on the feet. She didn't seem like she knew range well. Her wrestling wasn't particularly good. And the thing is Dos Santos is good on the ground herself. Like, she got a ton of submission wins. She can defend herself down there. And she got hands. She's also, I mean, not that it matters in this one. She's got a chin. She boxed with Denise Gomes for as much time as she did and didn't go unconscious. Like, that's pretty damn impressive, because Denise hits like a truck. So I think, like, she's just going to, like, pick Alencar apart, dance around her, avoid the takedowns, and she should win this one pretty easily.
Yeah, she's my pick as well. I really like the line on this fight. Far more experienced, far more well-rounded, bigger, younger. Like, there's pretty much, you know, she checks all the boxes for me here. So she is the pick. All right, let's move over to the men's side and up one weight class. Flyweights, our boy, Tetsuro Taira. He hasn't broken our hearts yet or disappointed us. He's fighting Carlos Hernandez. So Japan versus USA. We'll tell you about Hernandez first. 9-2 with 4 submissions. He's been submitted one time, so he owes us some quick fights. 2-1 in the UFC. 9-1 over his last 10. He did win his last fight. 1-0 in contender series. Was regional champion. Used to fight up at featherweight, so up 2 weight classes. An inch taller than Taira. More active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by 1.1 strikes per minute. Pretty decent resume. Still plus 400 on the board. So it kind of shows you what we all think about Tetsuro Taira. All right, Taira is 14-0, 3 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's won 4 straight fights. Was a regional champion. Used to fight down at strawweight, men's strawweight. That's a rarity, at least in North America, and up at featherweight as well. 3 inches of height, 7 years younger, excuse me, than Hernandez. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost 2 strikes a minute. He's at plus 1.97. Better grappling stats than Hernandez, minus 560. Don't like the odds, but I gotta go with Taira here. He's hasn't shown any reason not to back him at this point. Just, you know, real complete fighter. All that being said, this is probably his toughest fight he's had. At least I haven't seen his regional fights, but it's definitely his toughest UFC opponent. And that just speaks to how good he is that he's still at plus 560. So I'm sorry, minus 560. So Tyra's the pick.
Yeah, they seem to be moving up slowly and smartly here, because any other prospect who they might be high on, this guy would be fighting David Dvorak by now, or, you know, like somebody of that kin, right? And like, it makes sense. He's super young and it's a market they've badly always wanted to tap into, right? Like, how often has the UFC tried to find that like next great Japanese fighter? They thought they had it in Taki Gomi, and they just had it like way after the fact, right? Like, Gomi just passed his prime.
Kid Yamamoto.
Kid Yamamoto. Yeah, they brought him in and he lost. Was it Miguel Angel Torres beat the hell out of him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. And Tetsuya Taira might fit that bill. I think this is a great matchup for him, because Hernandez kind of needs to grapple in order to look good all the time. I mean, he's got a little bit of hands, but like, he's his best when he's using his submission game. You mentioned he's got all those subs on his record. And as we saw in the Alan Nascimento fight, a high-level grappler is going to beat him in his own game. And like, Tetsuya Taira is that high-level grappler. I will say, if you're looking to make this like a little bit nicer, I don't hate like Tetsuya Taira in the second round or Tetsuya Taira in the third round. Because, you know, Carlos Hernandez, people will see the first round sub to Alan Nascimento. Two things. First of all, Nascimento, way more aggressive than Tetsuya Taira. Taira's got some early finishes, but a lot of it is his opponent being aggressive. And two, Hernandez has kind of got decent submission defense. You know, he did lose to Nascimento by some, but it took him damn near the whole round. I think he could probably survive a round here, and then you see Taira turn it on in the second. You'll probably find some like over, you know, like fight doesn't start the second round kind of props or something like that. Because let's face it, nobody really is in on this money line. So I'll take Tetsuya Taira though for my official pick for the pod.
Yep, for sure. Gummy's getting real degenerate picks here for you to try to make this tastier. Do you agree this is Tyra's toughest fight, right? Or at least on paper?
I mean, if the ones I'm thinking of, yeah, that I maybe have to pull up his Tapology page and like look at it again to have any kind of real confidence in my statement there, but I don't remember anybody else looking decent against him. So yeah, I mean, like I just said to you, I thought Carlos Hernandez could make it to the second. That pretty much already says he's the toughest test.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's the UFC? This is not like the UFC at all. Booking a guy slow, especially at flyweight. Do you think it's more his management that's doing this, or you think the UFC is actually?
No, because I know his management quite well. I've dealt with his management on more than one occasions. They represent like over 100 UFC fighters, yeah. And all of them get handled differently. So I think a lot of that's up to like coaches and fighters. I think this is the UFC, because the UFC, a lot of what the UFC does when you're talking about like matchmaking and like babying people, is not always giving them the worst guys in the division on repeat. It's giving them guys who are good at the things that they are also good at. Yeah. You know, like they're giving a guy who's a great grappler a grappler, which is really smart to do. It's kind of like what they're doing with Paddy Pimblett. Are they babying Paddy Pimblett? No, but they gave him Jared Gordon, who can box a little bit and usually likes to wrestle. And then they're giving us like shell of guys as he moves up further and further, right? Or, you know, they gave him Luigi Vendramini, and they gave him this one, and they gave him that one. Like, they just kind of found people with styles slightly up the rung of the ladder that are similar to him. And I think that that's what they're doing here with Tyra too, is they're just babying him. And like, flyweight's just a harder division to find ways to baby you up the ladder.
There you go. Well put. I figure we need some extra Tyra talk for our Discord. I think everyone's in on Tyra in the Discord as well. So, all right. Before we move on, let's do some more talk about our friends at Underdog Fantasy, the good old folks at Underdog Fantasy. They have a way for you to play along with your favorite fantasy players all season long. That would be NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, even MMA. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You got an Underdog play for today, Gummy? You did an Underdog article for today. You want to steal one from there, or what do you want to do?
Oh, I'm not going to steal one from there, but I will tell you, come Sunday, I like CJ Stroud's higher than on his passing yards. I see it at 256.5 right now. Yeah, give me 256.5 for CJ Stroud.
All right, there you go. Watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. And we are brought to you by Game Time, a place where you can spend some of that hard earned won money on tickets, last minute tickets, the best deals to the concerts or any kind of event. MMA, they have MMA. I've searched there for MMA. They've got it all, because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more, aka MMA. The Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section or end row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Game Time tickets make the perfect holiday gift. Download Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I was going to buy the kid and my wife Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets, but they're like $175 a piece for like
nosebleed
back row on outside uncovered. Like, there wouldn't be a roof over them. You know, like, or grass for $110. Like, I can't spend $350 for tickets. Maybe game time will have deals later on. We'll see. Those Chili Peppers, don't they have enough money by now, Gumby? Aren't they supposed to be like punk guys that don't want money?
You would think so, but don't they also have like 9 opening acts every time they do it now too? Like, yeah. Did I see Kid Cudi's opening for them? Like,
yeah, not up here, but yeah.
Kid Cudi's got to get paid, my man.
It is true. All right, that's
pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch. thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Get back to the MMA. We're going up a couple weight classes and back over to the women's side. This is a women's bantamweight bout, Stephanie Egger from Switzerland, right?
Yes.
Yes, versus Luana Santos. All right, we're going to tell you about Madame Egger first, 8-4, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's been submitted twice, 3-3 in the UFC, loss, win, loss over her last 3. She did lose her last fight via submission, 0-1 in Invicta, used to fight up at featherweight. She was a judo world champion and a multiple-time grappling champion as well. An inch of reach on Santos, better grappling stats than Santos. Egger has been outstruck in the UFC by 0.15 strikes a minute, so barely. It's pretty much a push there on the feet, and she's at plus 118. Santos, 6-1, 1 knockout, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in the UFC. She won 3 straight fights, the last 2 via finish. Used fight up at, or sorry, down at flyweight. So we have a featherweight versus a flyweight in past lives. 12 years younger than Egger. Striking stats better than her, playing. She's 9 times more active landing strikes, but she fought Juliana Miller in her only UFC fight, so these stats are skewed. She outstruck Miller by 10.58 strikes per minute in that fight, and it showed. That number is not a number that's surprising. And she's at minus 148. That may be surprising. I'm not sure. We'll let Gumby tell you first.
Can I just tell you what extreme kind of competition level talk we have to be having in order for you to contextualize your stats? Because you're usually just like, nope, these are the stats, guy. You might as well like listen to my stats. And this time,
Juliana Miller has become a punching bag on this podcast, sadly. I feel sorry for the girl, but it's true.
I'm sorry. These are Juliana Miller's stats.
Rogan Walker is not around anymore, so.
Is she not? They might.
Yeah, maybe she is.
Who knows? I'm going Egger here. I think.
Me too, buddy.
Yeah, I think.
Underdog buddies.
I don't love Luana Santos going up in weight. I also don't like what I've seen out of her when she's been forced to grapple for any amount of time on the regional scene. Like when she's been forced to like have to like grind out a fight. And actually, one I'm thinking of that she didn't grind out, she fought Jenna Bishop. You remember, we've talked about Jenna Bishop a few times, LFA. Yeah. I think she's in Bellator now, and she's fighting some pretty high-level ladies in Bellator. She also fought this girl, Waleska Souza. I think it was in LFA. She fought Waleska Souza. And same thing. Like, she just got kind of put up against the cage for a while, held there. She tried to make head and arm throws, which I feel like won't work against Stephanie Egger. And she
women's
like
MMA.
Love those head and arm throws. And actually, she's gotten 2 submissions from like scarf hold when she lands the head and arm throw at the little like key lock with your legs. And so like I just don't think those things work really well against Egger. I think Egger's also kind of a grinder. I like her better at this weight class. And I think if she can like tire out Luana Santos and just kind of survive the early submission attempts, if it does wind up on the mat, I think she'll be fine. I think, you know, put her up against the cage, force her to dirty box a little bit, wear her out. She looked tired, like I said, in that Waleska Souza fight. She looked tired in the Jenna Bishop fight. I could see Stephanie Egger tiring her out here, and, you know, at plus money, why not?
Yeah, the size and the strength, I think, is going to be an issue here. And like you said, the grappling, she's going up against the world-class, a world champion grappler. So, yeah.
Plus, who has been submitted kind of a lot, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I know. It's true. Luana Santos is not going to submit her, is she? You think?
I don't think so. I think that's her only path to victory, though, to be candid.
Yeah.
I don't think her boxing is as good as Egger's. She looked real. She looked fast against Juliana Miller. But, like, if you go back and you watch any of her LFA fights, she's, like, usually – she's usually the slower of the two fighters on the regional scene. So, like, I don't think she's faster. I don't think she's a better boxer. I don't think her wrestling's particularly good. I think her gas tank's kind of questionable. Like, I think this is a good spot to hit an underdog who's just, like, ran into tougher competition so far.
Yeah. All right, very good. We're both in on the same dog. I'm actually in on a few dogs this week, Gumby. Quite a few. Not an overwhelming amount, but quite more than usual. More than someone named Chalk should be in on, I guess, is what we'll say. All right, next fight. We already broke this one down a few shows ago, but in case there's new listeners, we'll do it again quickly here. It would be a rescheduled men's lightweight bout. Steve Garcia pulled out of the last bout. Was it illness? Is that what happened?
They said illness, but if it's a day before weigh-ins, you sort of have to ask yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always I guess technically it would make sense if a fighter gets sick because they're depleting their body and stuff, but I always just expect it's weight issues.
It's not really
quote unquote illness. It's a weight cut related illness. So keep that in mind. He will be going up against Melquizal Acosta, USA versus Brazil, featherweight belt. Run over their resumes quickly. We got Garcia, the meme machine. He didn't have any illness until he was on Gumby's podcast 2 weeks ago. Just thought I would mention that. It's a fact, though. Correct? He did not have any illness before that. And he did after that.
He sounded fine when I talked to him.
He did. He sounded fine. And then Gumby got in his ear holes and boom, look what happened. All right. Who are we going to tell you about? We're going to tell you about him. A meme machine, 14-5, 11 knockouts. One knockout. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 4-2 in the UFC. Two straight wins. Three of his last four. All the wins out of those three have come via TKO. He's fight down at bantamweight, up at lightweight. 1-0 in contender series, 5-2 in Bellator. So he's quite experienced at the high level because Bellator is high level. Gumby's been trying to bring Bellator back this episode. The man who hates Bellator keeps talking about Bellator like it's really a thing still. 2013 was Garcia's pro debut. 2 inches height, 4 inches of reach on Costa. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by a very good number, 2.24 strikes per minute. Very impressive considering how hard he hits, too. He's at plus 215. Melk Coffee is Costa's nickname. 20-6, 7 knockouts, 6 submissions. Knocked out once, submitted twice. 1-1 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last four, including winning his last fight. Used to fight down at bantamweight, up at lightweight. Was regional champion, 4 years younger than Garcia. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his opponents by even better number than Garcia. Plus 2.58 strikes per minute. Very impressive. Minus 278. Gumby, you picked Costa last time. Last minute, I changed to Garcia. Now that I've got to think more on it, I'm going Costa as well.
Yeah, I think you got to take Costa, especially after somebody had trouble with weight cut, if that is in fact what he had. I mean, I already thought Costa was kind of a bad matchup because I thought he wouldn't stay down if Garcia shot the takedowns. And I don't think you can knock him out because he's a shoot-the-box guy, and I don't believe those guys can be knocked out. So I already think he's going to put a pace on Garcia. And now, can Garcia match that pace for three rounds knowing he's had issues? And granted, they are going up a weight class from last week's bout. But I don't know necessarily that that's good for Garcia either. Being that, like, he's not like a super ripped featherweight anyway. So, like, is that the best thing for him? I don't know. It might just make Melquizal Acosta even stronger. So, I'm going with Melky too.
Just to give us a little more assurance, can you interview Garcia again this week? Can you squeeze him in?
He's not on the show this week. If you're listening to this, it probably all dropped at the same time. You can get the Top Turtle MMA podcast with somebody we will talk on tomorrow's show.
Oh boy. He's teasing us with that. Okay. We're agreeing with everything thus far. Let's see. We're going to go do flyweights again.
I got a good feeling about agreeing on this one too.
Belays that fact.
The line, not the chin. The line kind of gives it away, not the chin. Like, I think the chin gives it away.
Perhaps. Hyung Sung Park from South Korea versus Shannon Ross from Australia. They are both fighting in Las Vegas, though. He's Australian, but his nickname's the Turkish Delight. He's 13-8. That would be Ross, sorry. 13-8, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. Knocked out 4 times, submitted once, 0-2 in the UFC. He's lost 3 straight fights and only won one of his last 5, 1-4 over his last 5. All of his losses have come via finish. So there goes that idea about the chin. He's not won a fight since November of 2020. However, he does have a full mantle. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. used to fight at bantamweight, as every flyweight pretty much has. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. More active landing strikes than Park. He's outstruck his UFC opponents, which is impressive, by plus 2.35 strikes per minute, despite losing all those fights. Oh, actually, yeah, he's 0-2 in the UFC, that's right. He's at plus 430. Peace of mind, Park. There is a nickname for you. 8-0, three knockouts, four submissions. He's been 1-0 in the UFC. He's won seven straight fights via finish. He was the road to UFC champion, also a regional champion, inch of height than Ross, 6 years younger, better striking stats, better grappling stats, and he's outstruck his road to and UFC opponents by 0.89 strikes per minute. He's at minus 590. Obviously, peace of mind. I have peace of mind picking him here, Gumby.
Yeah, it's an easy pick for two reasons. Number one, Shannon Ross has no chin. Like, he just gets touched and he's out. And that does not get better, having been knocked out two or three times in a row at this point. I don't think Hyung Sung Park is like some sort of amazing striker. I actually like his jiu-jitsu game quite a bit more than I like his striking. But I when in prepping for this episode, I went to go look at props and I was like, I bet you Hyung Sung Park's KO prop is kind of sneaky because he's a submission specialist. Who would pick him right to win by knockout? Shannon Ross's chin is so bad that this submission specialist by knockout is only plus 120, and it's the most common outcome. It's even higher than his sub prop, and he's better at submission. So, like, that just shows you what's happened to Shannon Ross's chin. Yeah, it's Hyung Sung Park here all day.
All right, there you go. We agree. Can we make it a clean sweep? We're going to go to the main event of the prelims. Kenan Song versus from China versus Kevin Jussier from France. And this is 3 5-minute rounds at welterweight. Song, 20-7, 20-7, nine knockouts, eight submissions. He's been knocked out four times, 5-3 in the UFC. He's won one of his last three and three of his last five. That sounds better. Did win his last fight. Used to fight up at middleweight. Has missed weight before. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.46 strikes per minute. And he's at plus 116. Air Jussier, 9-2, four knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out once, 1-0 in the UFC. He's won four straight fights in seven of his last eight. He's won two straight via finish. Regional champion, used to fight at middleweight as well. 2 inches height, 4 inches reach on Song, and he's 3 years younger than him. More active landing strikes, better grappling stats. However, he got outstruck in his UFC debut by 2.08 strikes per minute. He did win, though. He's at minus 143. All right, go ahead. Take us home.
Is it me? You're next. I just tuck Hyung Sung.
All right, fine. Air Jussier is my pick. Bigger, younger. Think he's a better fighter. Checks all the boxes for me over Song Kenan. So he's my pick.
I was actually worried you were going to be different than me on this. I'm taking Jussier too. I am a little bit worried because Song Kenan's, looking at his record leading into this, sort of deceptive how hard his strength of schedule has been. He's fought like, you know, Ian Gary, Max Griffin, you know, Alex Morono, you know, like those are good dudes to be on your record. Now, granted, he lost all of them, but I think the big thing for me is like Jussie is just like, he's really strong. He's good in the clinch. You know, you mentioned he was being outstruck in that fight, but what was it? Cal Lowrin he fought. He did get outstruck by Cal Lowrin, but like, it didn't look like Lowrin was hurting him the same way he was hurting Lowrin. And with Song Kenan, you know, his last two losses have come by knockout, being brutally knocked out by Ian Gary and being brutally knocked out by Max Griffin. Turns out it doesn't do good things for your chin. And I'm not saying Juice A is like going to be for sure knocking him out here, but like, he's a guy with a ton of knockouts on his record. And Song Kenan is kind of the guy they seem to feed to prospects when they want them to get a big win, right? And it's blown up in their face once or twice, right? Like, was it Rolando Bedoya he like sort of surprisingly beat? Like, it's blown up in their faces once in a while, but like, I don't think it blows up here with Juse. I think he lands a big bomb here and puts him to sleep.
Oh, you got another prop for you. You're hinting at a lot of possible prop plays tomorrow.
There's a lot of KO possibility on this guy. I mean, those last three fights, would not be surprised if every single one of them ended with a KO.
We just had a finish heavy card. Are we going to have two in a row, though? That's the thing.
There's some go to distance fights here. Yeah. Okay,
not that one. Not that there's like a pattern here or anything like that. Sometimes you get fight finish heavy cards. Sometimes you don't. All right. That's as I'm stumbling my way to the finish line here. Let's finish it up. We agreed on everything. So here are our picks. And we're at what? I think 62% overall when we agree with each other. So we're pretty good when we hit consensus. Yeah, 61 this year, 62 overall. So, all right, recap, Jussier, we are in on, as I get my screen back up here, Jussier, Park, Costa, Egger, Tyra, Dos Santos, right?
That's right.
What's your favorite pick of those?
Oh, if you can only pick that one. We save that for tomorrow. I mean, if I could only pick one, Tetsuya Taira.
All right. Of course. Our boy, Tetsuya Taira. All right. Get in the Discord and we'll maybe you can press Gumby for more info on his picks. The Discord would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. The Twitter would be SGPNMMA. You can also hit us up at Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox Writer. You can also hit me up with that handle on Instagram. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast. He hinted at who's on it next. I don't know if he wants to come right out and tell you or if you're going to leave it up in the air for who's on your show this week.
No, we got Jamie Malarkey, who's fighting on this card. And then I dipped into LFA on the 15th, I believe, is the fight card in LFA. And I'm talking to a very exciting flyweight prospect, Opni Pagoa.
Okay, very good. Easy for you to say that name, Gumby. You struggled with it before.
We talked about him before.
Did you get your co-host? You should have had your co-host be in that interview and try to say that name. That would have been fun.
Oh, he killed Jussé this week, though. Yeah, shout out to the Shockwave Dave saying Kevin Jussé perfectly.
Oh yeah, Shockwave Dave, good man. Not me co-hosting or driving that ship, so it's probably a plus for a lot of you people listen to Top Turtle. If you do for some reason like my stuff, I'm at moneymma.substack.com. get in there, get a subscription, you get a free subscription, and at least enter the pick'em contest for free. One of our friends from the Discord won the last pick'em. Why am I blanking on his name? Rob, the pleasant man, won our last pick'em. So there you go, real people actually win the contest and get prizes from me. So get in there, and of course you can read all of our stuff and get all of our discounts and listen to all of our podcasts and win all of our contests over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and our Patreon. Don't forget about that, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Okay, we're gonna be back tomorrow. We won't be hasty or haphazard. We'll be back fully prepared for the show. It'll be myself, the Meme Machine, Jeff Fox, as well as Melk Coffee. Gumby Vreeland. Lucky we're not recording another episode now because I'm having trouble talking. Lucky we're done for the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.